Indians, and Tim Liao is going to come and bring us our Bible reading from 1 Corinthians 9.
So we're going to read from God's word together, from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 1 to 23. And it's on page 1632 in the church Bibles. Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are you not the result of my work in the Lord? Even though I may not be an apostle to others, surely I am to you, for you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. This is my defense to those who sit in judgment on me. Don't we have the right to food and drink? Don't we have the right to take a believing wife along with us, as do the other apostles and the Lord's brothers and Cephas? Or is it only I and Barnabas who lack the right to not work for a living? Who serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat its grapes? Who tends a flock and does not drink milk? Do I say this merely on human authority? Doesn't the law say the same thing? For it is written in the law of Moses, "Do not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the grain." Is it an oxen that God is concerned? Surely, he says, this is for us. Yes, this was written for us, because whoever plows and threshes should be able to do so in the hope of sharing in the harvest. If we have sown spiritual seed among you, is it too much if we reap a material harvest from you? If others have this right of support from you, shouldn't we have it all the more? But we did not use this right. On the contrary, we put up with anything rather than to hinder the gospel of Christ. Don't you know that those who serve in the temple get their food from the temple, and that those who serve at the altar share in what is offered on the altar? In the same way, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel. But I have not used any of these rights, and I am not writing this in hope that you will do such things for me. For I would rather die than allow anyone to deprive me of this boast. For when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, since I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. If not voluntarily, I am simply discharging the trust committed to me. What then is my reward? Just this, that in preaching the gospel, I may offer it for free of charge. And so, not to make full use of my rights as a preacher of the gospel. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew, to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might have saved some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessing.
Thanks, Tim. Well, please leave your Bibles open there. My name is Simon, if we haven't met, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the wonderful gift that it is. Father, this afternoon, please help us to be able to concentrate. Father, please help us to see that laying down our lives to love and serve others, to hold the gospel out, is the best way to use our lives. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week we were thinking about the idea of laying down our rights. to avoid causing our brothers or sisters in Christ to stumble. We finished the talk thinking about greed and how our purchases might affect others. I talked about how it's probably best for me not to buy my 200 series Land Cruiser with some of my wife's inheritance. But as I was processing all of this during the week, I was thinking, you guys are now going to be watching every purchase that I make. I feel that pressure. But part of me was thinking, what do I have to live for now? If life isn't about my next purchase, if it's not about the next thing that might somehow bring me some sort of joy and some sort of meaning to my life, if I now have to consider everyone else with every purchase, what do I have to live for? Now, maybe I'm having a midlife crisis. I'm 41. Maybe the true state of my heart is being revealed. But I think if you two are wrestling with what we talked about last week, and I'm not trying to sound super holy by saying this, you know that I'm not super holy, but if you're wrestling with God's word too, you actually might end up in a similar place. What do we have to live for? If we're not trying to love and serve ourselves, if we're trying to die to finding happiness in material items, what is the point of this life? Well, friends, I want to reassure you that I'm not about to give up on my faith in the Lord Jesus. But the comfortable life, the life of just lots of toys, the idea of early retirement, that is definitely an idol that's in my heart. Well, friends, I think Paul has two things to say to us today. Maybe he's got two things to say to me today. The first is that Paul is not asking us to do something that he's not already doing. He's saying, give up your rights, because he's already doing that. The second thing that Paul is going to say to us this afternoon is that, you know what? It might be hard to give up your life, but giving up your life to tell others about Jesus is the best thing that you can do in this life while we wait for Jesus to return. Well, please have your Bibles open there at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Our first point is really Paul saying, hey guys, I'm not asking you to do something that I'm not doing. Well, let's pick it up from verse 1. Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are you not the result of my work in the Lord? Even though I may not be an apostle to others, surely I am to you, for you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. Quite simply, Paul is saying, you know what, guys? I am legit. I'm an apostle. I've seen the risen Jesus. And therefore, because I'm legit, I have certain rights. Now, verse 3 seems a little bit strange. He says this in verse 3. This is my defense to those who sit in judgment of me. I think Paul is saying, you guys all know I'm an apostle, but some people judge me because I don't take a payment from you. I don't take a payment from the Corinthians. I don't receive material help from them. And we'll think about why Paul doesn't do that in a little while. But first, Paul definitely wants to establish that he's an apostle and he definitely has rights. Pick up for me again from verse 4. It says this. Don't we have the right to food and drink? Don't we have the right to take a believing wife along with us, as do the other apostles and the Lord's brothers and Cephas or Kephas? Or is it only I and Barnabas who lack the right to not work for a living? Paul's saying he's got the right to eat food and drink. He's got the right to eat meat. He has the right to bring along a believing wife. Both him and Barnabas have the right not to work two jobs. And he goes on to kind of talk about this some more in verses 7 to 11. Now, I'm not going to read these verses to you, but basically Paul says the worker deserves his wages. Even those who sow spiritual seed should reap a material harvest, as it says in verse 11. He's saying gospel workers deserve to be paid. Now, Paul is not saying that every or even any minister should have their own private jet. He's not talking about that. But he's saying that gospel workers should be freed up to at least not to have to work another job. He talks about this some more in verse 12. Let me read that to you. If others have the right, or this right of support from you, shouldn't we have it all the more? But we did not use this right. On the contrary, we put up with anything rather than hinder the gospel of Christ. In this verse, Paul talks about others who have the right to support from the Corinthians, and we don't really know who these others are who are receiving this support. But Paul was someone who founded the church in Corinth. You can read about that in Acts chapter 18. So surely if anyone deserves to be paid, Paul does. But Paul doesn't use this right. He would rather put up with anything than hinder the gospel going out. He would rather work a regular job on top of being a minister. He would rather do that than hinder the gospel going out. Now, in other parts of the New Testament, Paul is happy to receive support from churches. Take, for example, Philippians chapter 4. So why is Paul not willing to accept help in Corinth? Why is he willing to lay down his right to not be a stumbling block there? Well, I know of at least two possibilities. There might be more than that. And the first is that teachers would come to Corinth and they would try and develop a bit of a following. That they'd try and get a crowd, their disciples, and those disciples would pay that teacher to kind of talk about their message. Well, Paul's saying, you know what? I'm different to that. I'm not just pushing this message for money. He wants to show the gospel message is genuine and real. Another option is that in Corinth, there was this practice of giving and receiving gifts. If someone gave you a gift, you would be expected to give them another gift or give them some sort of service or allegiance. It might be that you'd give them your political allegiance. It might be that you might put in a good word for them. It might be good for some sort of business deal. It's what we might call corruption. The gifts were not free. They actually came with obligations. So maybe Paul doesn't want to receive gifts or payments from the Corinthians because that would entrap him. He wants to be free to be all things to all people. He doesn't want to hinder the gospel going out in any way. Now, Paul rounds out this section in verses 15 to 19, and to be honest, they're a little bit confusing. I'm not going to read them to you now, but I think Paul's basic argument is that because he's an apostle, it's his job to preach the gospel. He actually can't get out of that, but he can choose whether or not he's paid for it. And in Corinth, he's choosing to lay down his rights to be paid as a way to not be a hindrance to the gospel, as a way to be a model to the Corinthians and a model to us. Now, I remember hearing a story a few years ago about a minister who was too busy to go along to a Bible study group. Now, ministers can be busy, sure they can. But if you are so busy that you actually can't study the Bible with others, maybe something else needs to go. Maybe you've forgotten what your job is. Imagine me standing up here, or Jason or Chris or someone else standing up here and saying to you guys, you should definitely go to a Bible study group. They are great places to be encouraged. That, you know, they don't make you a Christian, but they're great places to go. You should definitely go. I'm not going to go. I'm too busy and important for that, but you should go. You should definitely go. It'll be good for you. We'd have to say that if I did that, that would be a terrible witness. That would be a terrible model. And maybe there were other things going on for this minister, but it would be hard to follow someone, wouldn't it? It'd be hard to follow someone who says, you should do this, but they just don't do it themselves. That's a bad model. Well, friends, Paul is not doing that. He's not saying, lay down your rights, but I'm not going to. That's not the case. He's saying, I have rights, I have freedoms too, just like you guys. But I'm laying them down. I'm working two jobs just so I don't have to be a hindrance to the gospel. So that the Corinthians can see that his message is genuine, so that they can see that he hasn't been paid off by some rich person to have a particular view about something. Paul is saying, I'm doing this thing. I'm laying down my life. In fact, in chapter 11, verse 1, Paul says, follow my example as I follow Christ's example. So friends, are you prepared to lay down your rights to love and serve others so that they might hear about Jesus? Well, last week we thought a bit about this. How'd you go during the week at thinking about your purchases? How'd you go about thinking about others and not just yourself? It's hard, isn't it? We had a great discussion about this in our Bible study group on Wednesday night during the week, just modelling to you that I go to a Bible study group. It was a great discussion. It was actually really good. And everyone's kind of just thinking about tripping. Everyone was tripping out about just how far you go with this. And, you know, it was actually a really great discussion. Now, it's probably worth pausing for a moment and asking the question, why do you pay Jason? Why do you pay Chris? Or do you pay Sarah? Or do you pay Kat? Why do you pay me? Couldn't we just work normal jobs and volunteer on the side? I would have a mowing business if that was the case. It's called MoCare, just in case you're wondering. Anyway, the answer is yes, we could do that. We could do that. We could have jobs on the side. But church would function very differently. We'd actually have much less time to do our tasks. You might think we do a poor job now, but if we had less time, we would do a much poorer job. We also live in a different context to what Paul was in Corinth. And I think in our context, most people think it's a good idea that we get paid. Maybe not everyone, but most people. And how much we get paid, that's dictated by the State Assembly. It's a group of grey-haired guys. And there's always debates. There's always debates about whether we get paid too much or not enough or whatever it might be. Our salary is basically based on a third-year teacher or something like that. I actually think we get paid quite well to be ministers. But we're not paid a wage. We're paid what's called a stipend. So we're paid not to work. Sounds great, doesn't it? We're paid not to work. Tom wants to become a minister because of that idea. Not for any other reason, of course, but for that idea. Anyway. But we're paid actually to be freed up to do ministry. So it's not about hours worked, although we do try and work hard. It's about being freed up to use all of our lives to love and serve others. It's a privilege and it's a big responsibility. So please pray for us as we try to do that role. Well, last week, Paul was telling the Corinthians to lay down their lives. This week, he's saying, you know what, guys? I'm not asking you to do something that I'm not doing. I'm definitely laying down my life. But he's about to say, in a roundabout way, that helping others to hear about Jesus is actually the best way to use your life in this life. Well, pick up with me again from verse 19. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. Paul is again telling us that he's free. He belongs to no one. You know, he belongs to Christ, but he belongs to no one in another sense. But he makes himself a slave to win as many as possible. He makes himself like someone with no rights. Slaves just did whatever their master told them to do. They didn't get preferences. They had no rights. They just did what they were told to do. Paul is saying, you know what? When I'm hanging out with people, I just become just like them. I lay down my preferences. I lay down my rights. And so he says in verse 20, if he's hanging out with Jewish people, he follows their customs, their food laws. He doesn't eat pork or bacon or other good things like that. Even though he's free to, he definitely can eat those things, but he doesn't, to get alongside them in order to win them to Jesus. And if he's hanging out with non-Jewish people, he's hanging out with Gentiles, he does what they do, as it says in verse 21. He can't do exactly everything they do. He can't go down to Flinders Street and get off his chops and have a one-night stand. He can't do that. But he can get alongside them, and he can do that to actually help them to hear about Jesus. He even becomes weak to those who are weak. Let me read to you from verse 22. To the weak I became weak to win the weak. I become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Here Paul is saying, you know what? He becomes weak. And he's probably talking about those people from last week who can't eat meat sacrificed to idols and not think that they're actually worshipping some other so-called god. Paul's saying, look, he becomes all things to all people so that he might save some. He does all this for the sake of the gospel, that he might share in its blessing. I think he's saying he delights in being part of God's people and helping God's people to hear about Jesus, helping God's people to stick with Jesus. It's a real blessing to him, helping people to hear about Jesus. It's of eternal value. He's prepared to almost do anything so that people can hear about Jesus, because that is the most worthwhile thing that you can do in this life. Well, in my second or third year of Bible college, I can't remember which one, it's a bit of a blur, Deb and I went overseas to Greece and Turkey on a study tour. The idea was that we'd go to some significant sites that relate to the New Testament, but we weren't going to Jerusalem. Some of the sites were very impressive, but after a while, ancient rocks are just that, ancient rocks, and it gets pretty boring. After a few days, Deb was sneaking off, turning off the thing, and taking photos of squirrels. Didn't hear it from me, but got some good photos of the squirrels. Anyway, it was good, but it does. You can only look at that for so long before you get bored. And you certainly don't need to go overseas to these places to be a Christian. And you know what? You don't even need to go overseas to understand the Bible well. You can read your Bible here, fine, you'll be fine. Don't need to do it. Anyway, when we were in Turkey, we were going to be at Gallipoli on Sunday, and there was discussion that we should have a church service because of our Muslim tour guide. Now, that sounds a bit weird. Let me explain that to you a bit. This guy knew that Sunday was the day that we would get together to have a gathering. Friday is that day for Muslims. But if we didn't have a gathering on the Sunday, he would have thought that maybe we weren't legit. Maybe we weren't taking our faith seriously. And so in order to be able to have conversations with this guy and potentially to be able to speak to him about Jesus, we had a church service together on the Sunday. We all knew we didn't have to do this church service. We all knew that we were free just to walk around Gallipoli. But for this guy's sake, we had a church service. And can I say that I wasn't incredibly enthusiastic about the idea? I mean, the tour guide, he was pretty annoying. And I think I would have preferred more time just walking around Lone Pine, to be honest. But for the sake of this person, we laid down our rights, we laid down our freedom, so that he might have a better chance to hear about Jesus. And you've probably worked out that I wasn't the person who worked out that we should do this. That wasn't my idea. Friends, are you willing to lay down your rights to love and serve others? Are you willing to lay down your rights so that other people might hear about Jesus? Because that is what Paul is calling us to do. Now, I want to finish by thinking about how we might do this in the public sphere and how we might do this in our own lives. Now, often you might hear Christians saying, it's our right to voice our views in the public sphere. It's our right to have RI in schools. It's our right to have chaplains in schools. It's our right to tell the world that same-sex sex is not okay. It's our right to tell the world generally how to live. It's our right to be a moral compass to the world. But whenever Christians talk like that in the public space, the world is just reinforced in thinking that we are just kind of self-righteous, homophobic bigots. Now, I want to acknowledge that different Christians think differently about what we should communicate to the world. But shouldn't we be willing to lay down our rights, to lay down our rights to help others? Maybe if we were to lay down our rights in some of these discussions and to talk about Jesus and to live a life that's actually consistent with the gospel, maybe that would be a much better way to win people to Jesus. Remember, being a Christian isn't about telling the world how to live. We're not the moral compass for the world. Our job is to actually tell the world about Jesus. That's it. That's our job. What about individually? How are you laying down your rights to help other people to hear about Jesus? It might be laying down your right to go on a camping trip, or maybe the first part anyway, so that your young people can attend their weekly ministry and encourage the non-Christians who are present. It might be laying down your free Saturday to go and shoot guns with a group of random guys so that some might be saved. Shooting guns is not everyone's cup of tea. It might be laying down your right to a family gathering or dinner to help others to hear about Jesus. It might be laying down your right to a quiet night in. You know, it's cold, it's windy and raining. Do you really need to go to Bible study? Do you really need to go to church? Probably not. Friends, there are lots of ways that we might lay down our lives to help others to hear about Jesus. Well, I want to pause for a moment and I want to talk to a particular group of people. If you're married to a non-Christian husband or wife, you might be thinking, hey, Simon, I am laying down my life. I'm trying to think of others. It's just really difficult because I've got my own family to think about, loving and caring for them. And then I've got my church family to think about, loving and caring for them. And I kind of just feel like I'm caught in the meat grinder. If that's you, can I just say, soldier on, keep going, and ask God to help you to be wise. Ask him to help you to know how to divide up your time and your energy and your love. Pray about it with other Christians and try and make the most of your circumstances. Friends, laying down our lives is really hard. It's really hard for me. And I don't expect anyone to go out of here and to lay down their life perfectly. No one can do that. And that's why we need to look to Jesus, the one who died for us, the one who died for our selfishness, the one who laid down his rights, in fact, the one who laid down his life for us, so that we can be forgiven and have the hope of one day being in perfection forever. The one who perfectly modeled to us what it looks like to lay down his rights. The one who invites us to partner with him in the amazing eternal work of helping people to hear about Jesus. Friends, if you trust in Jesus, you have amazing things to do in this life. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the wonderful gift that it is to us. Father, thanks for Paul's example. Thanks that he wasn't just saying, you do it, and I'm not going to do it, but thanks that he laid down his rights. Father, thanks that he was trying to win as many as people as possible to you in everything that he did. Father, help us to be like that. Help us to think, how can we lay down our rights to help other people hear about Jesus? Father, help us not to be lazy with this, but Father, also help us to look to Jesus. And to know that he died to pay for the ways that we fall short, for the many ways that we fall short. Father, please help us to look to him, to trust in him, and to follow his example. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, we're going to respond to God's word by singing a song that reminds us that Jesus died and that we're his people now. We're called to live in response to that.